Oh, wait for the Lord. Be strong and He shall comfort your heart. Oh, put your trust in the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's Old Testament lesson is from everyone's favorite prophet, Habakkuk. In fact, if Lisa and I had had a boy, his name was going to be Habakkuk Zollner. I've suggested to Father Nathaniel that that might be a great name for baby Adkins, but I'm not sure he's buying it. Actually, I'm willing to bet that some of you may never have even heard of this minor prophetic book from the Old Testament. It doesn't come up very often in the lectionary, and I will, all right, confession time. I was using, when I was putting together the lectionary for our website, I was using one from 2017. And when I went later, or in this past week, and looked at the lectionary for in the new 2019 prayer book, they've actually removed Habakkuk and put in a reading from 2 Kings. But since I had already written a sermon on Habakkuk, we stuck with that. And this may be my last opportunity to preach on Habakkuk. It's actually a very interesting book, and it's not very long. It's only three chapters, and we read the entirety of the third chapter this morning, so I would encourage you this afternoon when you go home to read the first two chapters to get the entire context of the book. And we actually don't know a whole lot about the writer, about the prophet Habakkuk, other than the fact that he ministered most likely in Jerusalem sometime during the 7th century B.C. Now, the primary themes of the book are patience and trust in God's justice and sovereignty. The prophet understands that Judah has been disobedient and unfaithful and must be called to account. However, he has a difficult time understanding how God could use the Babylonians, those heathens, a people much more corrupt than Judah, to actually act as his agents in punishing his people. Habakkuk's conclusion is that faith is needed in order to endure injustice. He knows that deliverance will come, but the people must be patient as they wait for God to fulfill His promises. This message of patience and trust is one that applies to us even today, so many thousands of years later. Like Habakkuk, we too must trust in the promises of God and wait patiently for Him to fulfill them. Now, if we look at this three-chapter book, we see that the first two chapters really serve as this conversation between the Lord and the prophet. And then chapter 3, which we read this morning, is actually a hymn. It's a musical prayer from Habakkuk to God. And he uses the first part of this hymn to describe the awesomeness of God. In verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. I actually prefer the way the NIV translates the second part of this verse, which is, I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Now pay attention here to the prophet's attitude towards God. It is one of awe, is one of reverence, and it's one of deep and abiding respect. Now, sometimes I feel like these qualities can be hard to find in modern Christianity. Now, there's no doubt that our culture is becoming more and more informal, and many of our churches are starting to reflect this shift in our culture. And while it may not be all bad, I would argue that it certainly has the potential to affect our attitude towards God. There was this annoyingly catchy song during the 1980s by a band called Sunseed called Jesus is a Friend of Mine. Some of you may know it, and if you know that song, you're not going to be happy with me because you're going to be singing it in your head the rest of the day. If you've never heard it, I encourage you, go look it up on YouTube and you'll be singing it the rest of the day. But the whole premise of this song is that Jesus is your buddy. Jesus is your pal. He's this guy you can hang out with and you can do stuff with him, and he's going to help you out when you need it. And this certainly is an appealing understanding of God, and it's not untrue. We want to know that Jesus is someone that we can approach with confidence, that we won't be turned away, that he won't be too busy to engage with his people. As Christians, we desire to not know simply about Christ, but to know him personally and intimately. And all of that is very, very good. But when we only see Jesus as our buddy, when we only see him as our pal, it can be hard to remember that he is also our Lord and our Master. Things like rock bands and light shows, huge video monitors and pastors in jeans and t-shirts are fantastic tools for reaching out to this informal culture that we live in and bringing them into a place where they can hear the gospel. But sometimes the unintended consequence is that what we wind up hearing is this message that God is there to bring us entertainment rather than God being one who demands our respect. There ought to be a fair amount of fear and trembling when we approach the Lord in worship, not because he's scary, not because God is out to get us, but because he deserves the utmost of our reverence. And this brings us to one of the classic paradoxes of the Christian faith and Christian theology. We know that Scripture teaches that God is both immanent and transcendent. He is so close to us that his Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And yet he is so wholly other, so completely separate from this sinful world that we inhabit, that not even the entire world can contain him. In our desire to embrace that immanence, that closeness of God, we have forgotten that we need to balance that with his transcendence. Now, I certainly don't want to present God as this distant judge who cares nothing for us, but we need to make sure that we don't lose our awe and respect, because without that, our patience in the promises of God can become short. And as Habakkuk tells us, patience is very important. Imagine for a minute that you're standing in line at the grocery store. You're just picking up a few things, and you're late for a meeting, and they only have one checkout lane opened. And the person in front of you obviously enjoys his, shall we say, herbal medication. You can smell it from 10 feet away. His hair is unkempt and his eyes are bloodshot. He seems a bit disoriented and he's having a difficult time handling his groceries. And after the cashier rings up his Cheetos and his Mountain Dews, he can't find his money. And when he finally does find it, he's a dollar short from what he owes. So let me ask you, in this situation, how is your patience? Are you agitated? Are you ready to just push him out of the way so you can get about your more important day? Now imagine the same situation, someone in front of you who's taking a long time at the checkout, but this person is obviously a veteran who has just returned from Afghanistan and is missing an arm. Does that change your attitude? Does that change the amount of patience you have with this person? Are you more willing to wait on the soldier than you are the first person? My point is, when we're dealing with someone that we honor and respect, we are often more patient with that person. So, how patient are you with God? One of the things I've noticed in my life is that God does not work on my schedule or my timetable. Before I came to All Saints, I would often get frustrated by the fact that after many years of full-time ordained ministry, I was still serving as an assistant in a church. And I would often ask God, when am I going to get out of here? When am I going to go do something on my own? And the response that I always heard from the Lord is, be patient. I have something in store for you, and it's going to be fantastic, but you're going to have to wait for it. And that's a hard thing to hear. But the lesson that I learned through that is that when we are patient, God is always faithful. And that's why our attitude towards God is so vitally important in this day and age. Because if Jesus is just our pal, then it's easy to get annoyed and impatient when he doesn't do things that we want when we want them. But if our attitude towards him is one of awe and respect, then we're better able to wait patiently on his promises because we know that those promises are worth waiting for. And an important way that we develop this proper attitude towards God is through our worship of him. One of the sort of informal mottos of Anglicanism is lex orandi, lex credendi, which basically means that as we pray, so we believe. When our worship is orderly, when it's dignified and respectful, it develops in us that same attitude towards the one that we worship. When we kneel to pray, it reminds us that we are called to submission. When we stand to praise, it reminds us that God is high and mighty. When we sit quietly to listen and learn, it reminds us that what God has said is valuable and important. During many years of working with teens, I saw a lot of youth ministries that were probably 90 to 95% entertainment driven. We would sing loud songs, we would play stupid games, we would watch endless video clips, and then we'd throw in a quick word about how Jesus loves you, and then move on to another game. And while I'm certainly not against engaging people with familiar forms of media, when our worship of God is purely entertainment, then the focus of that worship actually shifts away from God and onto us. We start asking, what am I getting out of worship, rather than what am I giving to worship? One of the things I've always loved about prayer book worship is that it serves to set our sights higher. We're able to experience the beauty and dignity of our Lord through the beauty and dignity of the liturgy. After all, the liturgy has never been about itself. The goal of the liturgy is not to show how wonderful the church service can be, but rather the liturgy is meant to point us to Jesus Christ. Our worship shapes not only who we are, but it shapes who we understand God to be. Habakkuk teaches us that a right attitude towards God leads to faith and trust in his providence. Now, all too often I see people whose faith is shaken by the slightest adversity in their life. And for many of them, this can be the result of a low view of God. You see, when we see God simply as this cosmic Santa Claus or genie in a bottle, whose only job is to grant our wishes, then it's no wonder that when he doesn't act on those wishes, we lose faith. But this is not what Habakkuk calls us to. In verse 16 of our reading today, Habakkuk says, "Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us." And then he goes on to say, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Now, mind you, these words are coming from a man whose country is about to be destroyed and its people taken into exile in a foreign land. And so the situation for Habakkuk looks utterly hopeless. And yet, in the midst of all of that, he patiently trusts in what God is doing. Even though everything around him is falling apart, his joy is in the Lord his God. Are we willing and able to patiently trust God as Habakkuk did? It's not an easy thing to do. We live in a world where we want big results and we want them immediately. But God doesn't always work in that way. When we look around us, there are plenty of reasons that we should be worried. Our society murders the unborn and lifts it up as a virtue. Christians in Nigeria are being murdered for their faith every week. And yet we're more concerned with Harry and Meghan and their relationship to the royal family in England. We have pushed the church further and further to the fringes of society in favor of what we want to call progress. But despite what John Lennon sang about, evil still persists in the world. What is reassuring is that this is not the first time these sorts of things have happened. In fact, we see them throughout history. The people of Israel were exiled to Babylon. But in the end, God prevailed, not Babylon. The early Christians were persecuted by the Romans. But in the end, God prevailed, and not Rome. The medieval church lost its way. But in the end, God still prevailed. We have been through an Enlightenment, a civil war, and a Holocaust. And yet, throughout all of those things, Jesus Christ still reigns as King. In fact, the only consistent theme throughout history is that in the end, God always wins. The Christian church has faced heresies and scandals and infighting, and it will continue to face these things, and yet Jesus Christ is still on his throne. Now, I will be the first person to tell you that I am not a patient man. But God doesn't always work on our schedule. Like Habakkuk, we must trust in his promises and wait patiently for their fulfillment. And in order to do this, we must have a proper attitude towards God, which is shaped and formed in our worship. Now, those of you who are lifelong Chiefs fans, you know what it means to be patient. You know what it's like to wait. For the past 50 years, the Chiefs' kingdom has not wavered. Every Sunday, even in the midst of utter futility, Arrowhead Stadium is packed to the gills. Even in the midst of snow, when no one comes to church, people can still make it to the football game. Fans just knew that if they were faithful, if they were patient and waited long enough, glory would one day be theirs. Ah, that we might have that same trust and patience in the God of the universe. Now, the difference is that the Chiefs may never win another Super Bowl. Now, I got accused of heresy at the last service for saying that. Not saying they're not going to, but the NFL is a fickle beast. You never know what's going to happen. There are no guarantees in professional football. But where do we have a guarantee? We have a guarantee in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus will have the final victory over sin and death and everything that infects this fallen world. So rejoice with Habakkuk, even in the midst of despair, that His glory will one day be ours. And then go forth into the world proclaiming His greatness and teaching others about the victory of our God and King. Amen.